Good morning. It's April 3rd, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. In a significant phone call that broke a period of silence, U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping confronted some of the most contentious issues straining U.S.-China relations. This conversation, the first direct interaction since their summit in November, wasn't just another diplomatic exchange. It was a clear attempt to tackle head-on the disagreements that have shadowed their countries' interactions, notably over Taiwan and technology trade restrictions. Background information reveals that the call was part of a broader strategy by the U.S. to shift from merely managing to actively resolving differences with China. This approach is underscored by the leaders' frank exchange on sensitive issues. President Xi Jinping criticized the U.S.'s technology bans, suggesting they pose economic risks, while President Biden rebuffed Xi's appeals, standing firm on the U.S.'s stance. The dialogue also emphasized the critical need for responsible management of the U.S.-China relationship, acknowledging its global significance. This conversation marks a pivotal moment in efforts to stabilize relations between the two superpowers. The U.S. is signaling its commitment to diplomacy and engagement, as evidenced by upcoming visits to Beijing by top U.S. officials, and a strong focus on supporting allies, with visits from the Japanese Prime Minister and the Philippine President on the horizon. This return to routine interaction with China, following the soaring tensions under the previous administration, represents a significant shift in the U.S.'s approach to one of its most complex and consequential diplomatic relationships. In a tragic turn of events, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore met a catastrophic fate following a collision with a cargo ship on March 26th. This incident has not only claimed lives but also thrown a wrench into the gears of U.S. shipping operations, spotlighting the vulnerabilities in our transportation infrastructure. The bridge's collapse has necessitated the opening of a temporary 14-foot deep channel to maintain a semblance of marine traffic flow to the Port of Baltimore. Efforts are underway to establish an additional channel capable of accommodating larger vessels, even as recovery operations face setbacks from adverse weather conditions. Tragically, six construction workers are presumed dead in the aftermath of the collapse, with rescue teams having recovered only two bodies thus far. In response to this disaster, the state has announced plans to create a scholarship fund for the families of transportation workers who lose their lives while on duty. Furthermore, the Small Business Administration has stepped in to support affected companies, and legislation is being considered to tap into the state's Rainy Day Fund to provide financial assistance to port employees and small businesses impacted by the bridge's collapse. Amidst these developments, the companies operating the cargo ship responsible for the disaster have sought to limit their liability through a court petition. Meanwhile, President Biden is set to visit the site, underscoring the federal government's commitment to aiding recovery efforts. The full financial toll of the bridge's collapse remains to be seen, but it is anticipated to reach into the billions, necessitating a comprehensive reevaluation of shipping and transportation strategies across the nation. As severe storms sweep through the Ohio Valley and its surrounding regions, communities are grappling with the aftermath of damage and widespread power outages. Among the chaos, an EF1 tornado with winds reaching up to 90 miles per hour has carved its path through the area, prompting Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear to declare a state of emergency. This declaration comes in response to the severe weather conditions, including heavy rain, hail, lightning, and the threat of tornadoes, leaving thousands in the dark. The greater Cincinnati area is currently bracing itself under a moderate risk for severe weather, accompanied by a flood watch. The situation escalates in the western counties, facing an enhanced risk for tornadoes, damaging wind gusts, and large hail. Adding to the concern, Pocahontas and Nicholas counties are under a flood watch until 10 p.m. Tuesday, with a significant portion of the area at a slight risk for flooding. In an effort to keep the public informed and safe, the Storm Tracker 59 team is diligently providing updates through TV broadcasts, their website, mobile app, and social media platforms. The National Weather Service has already received reports of tornado touchdowns, including one in Ironton, and a University of Kentucky student was knocked down by the gusting wind and rain. Over 3.6 million people found themselves under a tornado watch, with schools in Tennessee preemptively closing early and canceling after-school activities to ensure the safety of students. With the severe weather expected to continue until midnight Wednesday, residents are urged to prepare by assembling emergency kits including water, non-perishable food, and a first aid kit. Emergency personnel have been deployed to assist in the affected areas, and executive branch state office buildings have been closed as a precaution. As the community faces this challenging time, staying informed and prepared is paramount. Residents are encouraged to follow updates and heed the advice of emergency services. The passing of Lou Conter marks not just the loss of the last USS Arizona survivor from the Pearl Harbor attack, but the end of a living connection to a pivotal moment in American history. At 102 years old, Conter's life story is a testament to resilience, courage, and humility in the face of unimaginable adversity. Lou Conter was on duty as a quartermaster on the USS Arizona during the infamous attack on Pearl Harbor, a day that claimed the lives of 1,177 of his shipmates. This tragic event propelled the United States into World War II, with Conter continuing to serve his country as a Navy pilot, earning a Distinguished Flying Cross for his valor. His experiences during the war provide a unique and invaluable perspective on this critical period in history. Following his military service, Conter's legacy continued through his efforts to ensure the memories of those lost at Pearl Harbor were honored and remembered. Despite being hailed as a hero, he consistently shifted the focus to his fallen comrades, embodying the humility and selflessness characteristic of the so-called greatest generation. With his passing, only 19 survivors of the Pearl Harbor attack remain, underscoring the importance of preserving their stories and sacrifices. Conter's final wishes were to be laid to rest beside his late wife in Grass Valley, California, a testament to his personal values and dedication to family. His death, surrounded by loved ones, marks the closing of a chapter for the USS Arizona survivors, but also reinforces the enduring legacy of those who served during World War II. Pacific Historic Parks has commended Conter for his unwavering commitment to keeping the memory of Pearl Harbor alive, a reminder of the courage and sacrifice that defined an entire generation. In remembering Lou Conter, we are reminded of the cost of freedom and the importance of honoring those who have fought to preserve it. His life and legacy continue to inspire and serve as a poignant reminder of the resilience of the human spirit in the face of adversity. In a notable shift in the landscape of television and streaming services, Jon Stewart has made his way back to Comedy Central's The Daily Show, leaving behind a stint at Apple TV Plus that was mired in controversy over content restrictions. This move sheds light on the broader conversation about freedom of speech and the power of streaming platforms to influence it. During his time with Apple TV Plus, Stewart encountered limitations on discussing certain sensitive topics. Specifically, he was prohibited from delving into Israel's actions in the conflict in Gaza, the implications of artificial intelligence, a topic of significant interest to tech companies like Apple, and was even barred from interviewing Federal Trade Commission Chair Linda Kahn. These constraints underscore the capacity of Apple to regulate discourse on its streaming service, a concern that gains additional weight considering the company is currently facing an antitrust lawsuit. The situation has sparked a debate on the influence and relevance of Apple TV Plus in the competitive landscape of streaming services, with veteran reporter Andy Meek raising questions about how it stacks up against giants like Netflix. This discussion is particularly timely as Apple is poised to announce major developments in artificial intelligence at the upcoming Worldwide Developers Conference, amid growing scrutiny from U.S. lawmakers over potential foreign influence and the company's decision-making processes. Apple's silence in response to inquiries about these content restrictions only adds to the intrigue and concern over the power streaming services wield over speech and the dissemination of ideas. As the industry continues to evolve, the implications of such control become an increasingly critical point of discussion for creators, viewers, and regulators alike. This has been your daily brief in U.S. News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.